So tomorrow on the 24th, and today is the 24th, the 24th, the 25th, we'll check precisely when it's happening. We have the first eclipse of this year. It's going to be in Libra. So we're going to have a full moon in Libra. And that is supposed to be the actual timing for Passover. And we spoke about it a few times. There is a discrepancy between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar of about 11 days. And every 3-4 years, we have a leap year in the Jewish calendar. So we can adjust the holidays to the seasons because that is connected to the solar calendar. But because the celebration is done on the new moon, and the full moon, like many different traditions, it is a lunar calendar. So to adjust the two, every 4 years or so, we have a leap year. That's why this year, Passover is not happening today or tomorrow, but in a month from now. And that's why next Sunday, which is always the first Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox, we're going to celebrate the day of resurrection, which is Easter. So that's what we're looking forward to in the next few days. And of course, next few weeks, sorry. And we're doing Ramadan right now. So there's definitely a convergence of quite a lot of holidays and religious sentiments happening in the next few weeks. While we are going to have the Mercury retrograde starting on April's Fool. And then we're going to have the eclipses. And so what we have this April is a combination of eclipse season, again, starting today until April 8th. And then we're also going to have the Mercury retrograde from April 1st until the 25th, 26th or so. So it's definitely looking at quite a busy April for us. We'll start with what's happening day by day, as we always do. In the beginning, then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the eclipse because I'll try to break it down for each one of the signs because I think it is a kind of important thing we're having right now, the eclipses. These are very powerful eclipses. So let's start off with today, Sunday, March 24. We have the sun in Aries sending a beautiful energy to Minerva, the goddess of wisdom. So if you need any clarity, if you need any brainstorming, any kind of ideas coming your way, just spend some time doing something. Because the because Minerva, Athena, is in Sagittarius, which is action, movement, because we have Aries, Sun, and they're sending great energy to each other, both of them are fiery, we do need to honor the element in which the application of happening, in which the planets are located, so we can tap into that archetype and use it. So if we know that Athena is in Sagittarius, she's holding the bow and arrow, everything has to do with philosophy, so this is a great time to look at things from an angel point of view, you know, not even a bird one, a higher one. So we're looking at things from above. This is very much looking at things in a more optimistic way, if it's possible. So not to look at the dark side of things, but to look at the optimistic thing, to look at the half full of the cup, because Sagittarius is very optimistic. Aries is very enthusiastic. The combination of the sun and Minerva today, and it's going to be also this whole week, that's why I want to spend so much time talking about it, is that through action, through exercise, through walking, hiking, doing, we can receive information. So it's not about just sitting there meditating. It's maybe meditating after you went to a run or meditating after you did yoga, hence the Shivasana. So something like a corpse meditation after a physical activity can bring you a lot of knowledge this week. So if you're used to meditating, great. Try to meditate after doing some physical activity. If you're not used to meditating, do some physical activity and then sit there or lie down there and do some receptive action. So because Minerva is the goddess of wisdom, just war, everything that has to do with strategy, everything that has to do with finding a new path, a new direction, approaching something differently, it's as if Athena herself is coming to you and helping you strategize a new resolution, a new solution to something that you're going through. Again, that's one of the biggest aspects we have this week. Another big aspect that we have this week, which is a great one, is Jupiter conjuncting Uranus. That's going to happen throughout this week, a little bit in next week. We'll talk about the dates in a second, but it is bringing together the planet of expansion of opportunities and Uranus, which is all about innovation, technology. Even if you're dealing with bitcoins or if you're dealing with cryptocurrencies, there could be some interesting things happening in the context of your expansion or opportunities. Because again, Uranus is in Taurus. Taurus is finance, everything that has to do with talents, art. Jupiter is expanding that. Jupiter is going to be in Taurus all the way up until about, it's going to be there all the way up until, let's say, end of May, beginning of June. So remember, I told you, Jupiter in Taurus is giving us some kind of protection around the economy and our finances. Once Jupiter moves into his exile in Gemini, starting the end of May, June, we can see some kind of downturn, or at least we're not going to have as much protection. But at least now we are protected, and Jupiter applying its energy towards Uranus is a really positive energy. It happens once every 12 years, and it talks about positive flow, especially around technology and innovation. So again, this week, three things that are happening that are extremely important. One of them is Jupiter moving on top of Uranus throughout this year, expansion through everything that has to do with technology, innovation, communities, groups, organizations. The more you take risk, the more you jump into the unknown, the more fearless you are, the more success, more recognition, more positive energy coming from Jupiter. And the other thing that's happening this week is that we have the eclipse, of course, happening tomorrow, and we're entering the eclipse season. So from March 24, 25, all the way up until April 8, it's 2 weeks where we are having the midpoint between the eclipses, between the lunar eclipse that's happening right now and the solar eclipse, that is the American eclipse, happening on April 8. So this time between those two is very, very intense, very difficult. Imagine yourself navigating a ship, navigating a spacecraft between two asteroids, or a ship in a strait where you have these cliffs hanging from both sides. These cliffs are the eclipses. So you have to make sure that you're very much attentive or very focused on navigation in the next 2 weeks, especially in matters that have to do with I versus thou, how much I focus on myself, how much I focus on partnerships. The moon is in Virgo, and it's sitting on top of the black moon. Not the easiest energy. It was worse yesterday. Today, it's much better. Remember, we talked about how Hamas, as a terrorist organization, has the moon on top of the black moon in their chart. That's why they're so negative and so dark. And indeed, the ISIS attack in Russia that killed over 100 people is also happened when the black moon was on top of the moon. So once a month, we have a day or so when the black moon is on top of the moon. Start paying attention to it, because you can see it's repetitive in charts or in transits. Very bad news. It's always talking about darkness re-emerging, in a sense. So always pay attention. We're going to start paying attention to it more and see how it correlates to the news. So again, we're having the moon in Virgo today, but if we look at the day after, tomorrow, we're talking about March 25, is the actual eclipse. That's when we are caught between the gravitational forces of the sun and the gravitational forces of the moon, between mom and dad. They're kind of fighting, and each one of them is using us a little bit in their fight. So there is a feeling of torn energy, and because it is a South Node eclipse, it's a little bit tougher to handle. The South Node, because the moon is going to be full in Libra, but the South Node is now in Libra. The sun is supported by the North Node in Aries. So that creates a little bit more emotional and but more intense full moon. Full moons are always about completion and letting go. Because the South Node is also related to letting go, it's actually not so bad to use tomorrow and the day after to cut away, to brush away, to free yourself from any, let's say, ancestral karma or issues that have to do with patterns in relationship from the past, exes that you're still thinking about all the time, impossible loves that you're still indulging in. Any of that can be cut off tomorrow. So the completion of the full moon tomorrow, especially because it's eclipse. Eclipse are basically any full moon or a new moon on steroid, much stronger. This is a time to break free from any patterns you have in partnerships, relationships, partners in work, partners in life. The other thing that's happening, we still have Venus exalted. We have the Mars exalted at this time. It's actually very nice that we have so many planets exalted. They are helping us channel the energy. So the Sun we have throughout the time we're going to be in Aries until April 20th. Venus we're going to have for two more weeks in exalted in Pisces, which is great for art, beauty, design, colors, really positive energy, especially because on Monday, we have a beautiful sextile between Jupiter and Venus, both of them very benevolent planets. So them acting together, something good is happening around finance, money, your talents, your self-worth. So it's an interesting day tomorrow. Things can happen. Completion of something ending or cutting away from something that may be opening for something new. And again, that's going to be very, very strong on Monday when we have the moon moving into Libra. Moon in Libra is the moon of peace. It's the moon of diplomacy. Again, it's opposite to the sun. We have that eclipse quickening processes that has to do with your struggles in relationship or partnerships or I versus thou. Also, anything to do with artistic expression, because Venus is the ruler of the moon in Libra and it's exalted. It's really good. Venus is spreading away like, let's say, fading away from her conjunction with Saturn, which caused a lot of heaviness in relationship in the last 2-3 weeks. That's almost done. And Mars is going to be surfing in Pisces for the next 2 months. Any kind of activity and action around water or inside of water is benefit. And also anything to do with yoga, martial arts would be very good for the next 3-4 weeks. Sorry, for those of you. Now, looking at March 26, which is a Tuesday, I believe, the day of Mars. So Tuesdays, when we are during the period of Aries or Scorpio, are very important because it is the day that is ruled by Mars, and Mars is the ruler of Aries, where we are now, and Scorpio, where we will be in end of October. So this is right now a period of a lot of action. So Tuesday and Wednesday is full of action, movement, doing things. The moon is starting to wane. It's losing energy. So this is the next 2 weeks is a great time to get rid of things. If you need to fire somebody, if you need to throw something, if you need to donate something, if you need to release something, the next 2 weeks are really, really good. As you can see, Jupiter is slowly coming closer and closer to Uranus. A lot of innovation, a lot of scientific breakthroughs in the next 2 weeks. A lot of aha moments, a lot of moments where there is some expansion around friendships, communities, and people. So definitely that will be a pretty powerful aspect, again, with everything that has to do with e-commerce. Really, really good, especially if it's artistic, especially if it's functional and grounded. Now, the other thing about Tuesday, we have the moon in Libra. Again, the moon in Libra is the moon of peace. And what the moon in Libra represents, it's the two of swords in the tarot card, is a spiritual decision that can bring a lot of benefits for you. So this is a great time to really focus on putting yourself in a situation where you can breathe much more. So any kind of breath work will be great Tuesday, even a little bit in Wednesday. Again, especially if you can do it in water, so swimming, any kind of time spent in water will be great, because don't forget that we have 40% of our chart in Pisces, which is a water sign, and we have the moon in Libra, and of course, Pluto in air in Aquarius, which is a lot of air energy. So that's really a helpful thing. So what we have on Tuesday, still nothing specific that is sticking out. Chiron is already passed away from the North Node. It's coming closer. And actually, Mercury is also in Aries. Just watch how you speak on Tuesday, because Tuesday is a day that is ruled by Mars and we're doing Aries and we're still influenced by the eclipse. Just pay extra attention. Tuesday is almost like the day after, you know, the aftermath of the eclipse. So there's not that much drama happening. On Wednesday, March 27, we have a big shift, because what's happening on March 27 is that the moon is moving into Scorpio. And the moon in Scorpio is fallen. So we're moving towards a time that things are a little bit more heavy. So Wednesday, Thursday, a little bit of Friday, the moon is fallen in Scorpio. That basically gives you an instinct about the occult, research, hidden things. You know, there is some, you feel like there, your intuition given you to you by all that, those planets in Pisces is telling you that something's off. I wonder what it is. Well, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you might discover it, because what Moon in Scorpio is for me is the private investigator. You're hiring somebody to take pictures of your husband who is cheating on you. Okay, so the Moon in Scorpio, yes, it's fallen. Your husband has fallen, but it gives you quite a lot of insights into things that otherwise you either don't want to deal with or can't see. So that's the glorious thing about the moon in Scorpio. The moon in Scorpio is hard to handle. Emotions are heavy. The mantra of no, you can't is much stronger than yes, we can. At the same time, it unearths things, and it is a magical moon. Now, because we have, the moon is having so much support from the four planets in Pisces and the two planets in Taurus, it's actually not too bad. So that's why I think that Wednesday and Thursday, you can unearth things, discover things, connect much more to the occult, much more magic happening. You think about something and it actually happens. The only issue with Wednesday is that the moon, starting her passage in Scorpio, is going to be aggravating Pluto, which is the lord of Scorpio. That's not something nice. So that could be a little bit more struggle with some family members, a little bit harder to parent, a little bit harder to handle, let's say, any kind of partnerships or relationships. So just to be a little bit more careful about how you handle family members on Tuesday and Wednesday. And on Thursday, March 28, we have the moon still in Scorpio, but that time on Wednesday, the moon is sending beautiful trines to Saturn, great trines to Venus, and to even to Neptune, which is going to be more on Friday. So let's say Thursday this week is very, very magical. We have 50% of the chart in water, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. And again, the water is not very calm water because it's Mars energy. We're influenced by Mars because of the sun being in Aries and the moon being in Scorpio and Mercury being in Aries. So we have 30% of the chart actually governed by Mars, and the moon being in Scorpio, which is Mars. So just pay extra attention, because there could be a little bit more conflicts, strife, wars, aggression. That being said, dreams, intuition, mysticism really heightened, because the moon in Scorpio is already very connected to magic, to the occult, to hidden energies. Then all that Pisces energy is very, very strong in connection to mysticism and intuition. So you have a great opening to really see things differently and to really dive into your unconscious, subconscious, and to imagination. So it's a very artistic day, but in a very deep, very, very deep way, a little bit too deep. But again, because we have so many planets guided by Mars, just be careful of unnecessary wars. We're talking about, of course, Thursday, March 28th. Besides that, we have Mercury still in Aries. Just be careful how you speak. Certain things might come across a little bit tough. We actually have Vesta sending beautiful energy to Mercury. So that talks about dealing a little bit more with communication that is a bit more established. So this is a great time to write, to communicate, to establish what you want to say. That's on Thursday. If we look on the weekend, on March 29, we have the moon on the border between Scorpio and Sagittarius. So it's really going to be in between the archetype of Scorpio, where the moon is fallen and a little bit darker, more emotional, to the moon in Sagittarius, which is going to be favored by the sun. So what's happening on Thursday, Friday, we're moving from affiliation from water, which we have so many planets in Pisces, to the affiliation of Aries, which is fire, which is what the sign that we're dealing with right now anyway. So the moon on Friday, the first part of Friday, yes, we have the moon in Scorpio. It's a little bit fallen. The second part of Friday, much more optimistic, outgoing, and moving from yin to yang, from water to fire, from reception to action. And what we have also on Friday is Vesta Stationary. Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, is stationary. We're getting a lot of wisdom on this weekend. We can't act on this wisdom because that's what the planet stationary means. You're just receiving all of that. It's almost like we're loading the car. It's not moving anywhere. Then we turn on the car and depends on what stationary it is. Either the car is going to go back, at least with the cargo, or going forward. So in the case of Minerva, she's going to start going retrograde on Sunday, next Sunday. Minerva going retrograde means basically that wisdom comes from inside. It's not about going and giving wisdom from outside. Maybe you received a lot of information, a lot of wisdom. And when Minerva is retrograde, you're processing that wisdom, integrating that wisdom, so practical things can come out of it, because it's in Sagittarius, especially things that have to do with foreign cultures, foreign philosophies in general, wisdom, traveling, mass media, mass communication. But the key word is truth, really processing your truth. That's what's going to be happening with Minerva retrograding. But because Minerva is sending such beautiful energy to the sun, especially on Thursday and Friday, a lot of insight about yourself. It's very much about self-expression and the ability to see things that maybe before were hidden to you. So that's going to be starting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The processing, the stationary Minerva is just going to allow you to receive a lot of insight. So really be open this weekend. This weekend is a discovery, a workshop of wisdom, you can say. You can see that Jupiter is getting closer and closer to Uranus. They really are trying to kind of connect together. It's going to be more strong next week. And Venus also is heading straight forward to Neptune, which is going to be, again, next week conjuncting, which is great. Venus is about love. She's in Pisces, exalted, and she's getting closer to touch for the first time this year Neptune, which is her higher octave. So that's going to be very romantic, full of joy, full of dreams, full of mysticism, really interesting period of time that's going to be happening to us next week. So, but it's, you're going to already start feeling it much more. The moon is in Scorpio, like we said, opposite to Jupiter, opposite to Uranus. So there could be some family members acting out really crazy around Friday. And be careful not to try too much, especially with family matter, or smothering too much, or worrying too much about other people. It's not going to come across very well, especially during the period of Aries in general, but also when the sun transits like in Aries like now. We don't like needy people. So just be careful. That's why I'm wearing the Aries t-shirt, so you be prepared. Saturday, the moon is moving into Sagittarius and it's going to be conjuncting Minerva. Definitely a lot of wisdom, a lot of connection to foreign cultures, foreign tradition, foreign philosophies, wisdom, truth, religion. It's a very optimistic weekend, especially because the moon and the sun are sending beautiful energy to each other. Even though we're in the midpoint between the eclipses, the sun and the moon sending perfect energy to each other is amazing. It's like mother and father are getting along. So in the beginning of the week, mother and father are having a terrible fight. It's an eclipse. They're even threatening divorce. By Saturday, they're already lovey-dovey and they're sleeping late at night in their bedroom and we can't even come and visit them. So beautiful energy flowing on Saturday. The moon is, the sun is exalted. Venus is exalted. Yes, Minerva is stationary, but besides that, we don't have still any planets retrograde because we're preparing for April's Fool, which we're going to talk about next week quite a lot. Sunday is March 31st, and we have the moon in Sagittarius still sending great energy to Mercury. So there is some really beautiful connection between IQ and EQ at that time. It's like your emotions and your intellects are working together into a perfect flow. A great day for writing, marketing, sales. I know it's a Sunday, but on Monday, April 1st, next week, which we're going to cover next week also in our meeting on Sunday, is April's Fools. It's the day of the Green Man. It's a beautiful day, but it's so funny that the Joker, the Fool in the Tarot card, which is the Green Man, is going to be starting, is stationary right on April's Fool. So there's definitely going to be a lot of jokes played on you on April 1st on Monday next week. I'm sorry, I have to go back and forth and start it off just because of the issues that I'm having with live. I can't really do any lives, so That's why this is happening. I have to record it. If anybody knows anybody that works in Meta, definitely let me know. It's been a month and a half that they completely ignore my emails. I'm not taking it personally. Of course, everybody is the same. And we already had the live issue before. So anyway, now that we know what's happening the next week, let's look at some of the things that... Actually, I wanted to look at the eclipses that we are going to have. So the eclipse is pretty intense this week. We have it tomorrow. I think we looked precisely when it is happening in London time. In London time, it's going to be... When is it going to be? Yeah, it's at 1... Ah, sorry, it's at 1 a.m. LA time. So literally it's happening between Sunday and Monday, depends where you are in the world. We talked about the Sabian symbol being the ideals of a man abundantly clear, crystallized. So what we're talking about is that definitely there is a masculine energy. The moon in Libra is masculine. The sun in Aries is masculine. So there is your masculine side is coming up with some great ideas right now. What is masculine side ideas? Ideas about what's happening next. What are you going to do about it? Action, decisions about your strategy. And the fact that we have this, Minerva, the goddess of wisdom with us in Sagittarius, which is again a masculine side, that's actually really helpful to get some clarity from this eclipse. But let's go over the different signs and how they deal with the eclipse. Again, I'm sorry, I'm going to extend my hand over to you guys that are watching it on Instagram, Zoom, I just have to record it so I can send it on Instagram later on. So bear with me. So the eclipse, we have the eclipse in Aries, that's where the sun is, and the moon is in Libra. So what we have is a very powerful lunar eclipse that is all about the axis of I versus thou. How much I focus on myself, how much I focus on my partnerships. Again, because the North Node is in Aries, the key to succeed is I am, finding your identity and letting go of any kind of false identities that were put on you, you were dressed on it, either by your family or by people's expectations or even by your significant other. So what this eclipse is all about is figuring out if you're in a relationship, if you're happy with the kind of person you have to be in order to remain in this relationship. Because if you don't like who you have to be in order to sustain this relationship, then this is the time to use the South Node and let it go. Let go that relationship or fix the situation so that you can be authentic in your relationship. So that's the main lesson of this eclipse. The I versus thou. Me versus us, in a sense. My integrity and who I am in this relationship versus who I have to be in order to be authentic with myself. So again, this is the dynamic of this for all the different signs. So let's look at how the different signs deal with this eclipse. So first of all, for Aries, it is the father of dragons because the eclipse is happening, at least the North Node is happening in Aries. Now for Aries, it is really a look into the dynamic between themselves and their partner just because the sun of this eclipse is actually, the moon is going to be happening in the house of relationship for Aries. So for Aries, it is a lesson, and it's the next 2 weeks especially, about figuring out my partnerships, my relationships, what I expect of my relationship, what I want, what I don't want in relationships. For Tauruses, it's going to be more about work, health, diet, routine, employees. Am I serving the right way? Am I supposed to serve in a different way? The eclipse could bring a lot of synchronicities, coincidences, push and pull, back and forth between the energies of I want to let go of everything, let go of this project, or put myself much more deep inside, really go into it full-fledged on with especially service, with my health, with my work. So for Tauruses, again, it's all about how do I serve other people? How do other people serve me? That's the dynamic. And of course, it's in the context of I versus thou, because this is what for all the signs is manifested. For Gemini, it is a very good eclipse, actually. For Gemini, it's all about love, happiness, creativity, children, entertainment, the ability to find even hobbies, things that you can do by yourself or with partner. Let's say you play tennis. How much to play tennis do I play by myself with a partner, or how much do I play in partner tennis? So it's actually a good eclipse. That's why I put the plus there, because they're getting great energy from Libra and great energy from Aries. And also it means that for our nervous system, which is Gemini, for our mind, it's a good eclipse. For Cancer, it could be a little bit more difficult, because the eclipse actually falls on the dynamic of home and family versus career. And because the eclipse will fall in the house of home and family, there could be some difficulties for Cancer around the home, family members, memories from father and mother that's sticking out there, issues with parenting. And I put the minus minus because it is a very difficult eclipse for Cancer. So if it's difficult for Cancer, it's difficult for the archetype of home and family. So it's difficult for every family in a sense, or for homes and for real estate. So that's something there. For Leo, it's a great eclipse because it's happening in a fire and air sign. Leo can breathe and can use that energy to push forward. So it's a great eclipse for Leos. It is affecting them in the house of communication, marketing, sales. Maybe the dynamic is more traveling within their own country versus traveling abroad. Lower education versus higher education, in-laws versus relatives. So there could be a little bit of dynamic there. But overall, if the Lions can express themselves and can communicate what they need, it actually is a good eclipse. For Virgo, it is about money, talents, and self-worth. It is about discovering how much should I focus on my talents versus my partner's talents, my assets versus other people's assets. So that's going to be the dynamic for Virgo. So it's much more about mine versus ours, but it's really all about self-worth and connecting to your values. For Libras, it's about everything, because the eclipse does fall on your sign. So when the moon is in your sign, you can be very emotional, and you have to look into your body. There could be some issues with body, issues with health, so pay attention to your health. There could be some ups and downs emotionally, again, because the moon is located in your sign, and a little bit of indecisiveness. Again, it's not necessarily good or bad, it's just kind of neutral. For Scorpio, it's an interesting eclipse because it is representing letting go, cutting away from things, diving deep into your unconscious, everything has to do with imagination. It's actually an eclipse that can bring about people, ideas, gifts, or even curses from past lifetimes. So there is something shrouded with mystery for Scorpio, which is not hard for Scorpios to handle. It's just very karmic in a way. For Sagittarius, it's a great eclipse. Again, I put the plus plus there. For Sagittarius, it's a very beautiful eclipse. The reason why is because, A, we have Minerva on their side, and also because it is a fire sign and it's getting great trine from the north node and a sextile from the south node. And for Sagittarius, it's all about communities, people, groups, organizations, nonprofit, philanthropic work, working with governments, making new friends. And for them, it's going to be a little bit more the dynamic or the duality between paying attention to their friends and paying attention to their children, to their lovers. So there could be a little bit of a conflict between the lover and a friend. For Capricorn, not a very easy eclipse. It has to do much more with career, which is what Capricorn anyway wants to deal with. So again, it could be a situation where there is some dynamic between, like Cancer, between home and family versus career. It could be a little bit more difficulty with father figures, bosses, figures of authority. For Aquarius, it's a great eclipse. It's affecting more in the house of truth, philosophy, traveling, higher education, everything that has to do with the connection to mass media. But really, it is about an exercise of finding in my life what is true and what is a lie. So there's that dynamic. It's again, fire, air and fire works really well together. And for Pisces, the last sign, it is going to be taking place in the house of transformation, sexuality, intimacy. And again, it is the dynamic very similar to the dynamic we talked about before already with Virgo. It's my money versus other people's money. How do I focus on my talents versus other people's talents? What is mine in this partnership? What is ours or yours? And it is the eighth house, which is very comfortable for Pisces. It's the house of magic, the house of the occult, the house of tantra, the house of transformation, research. So this is a great time for Pisces to dive deep into a shedding and also afford them the ability to really dive deep into what they really desire, their passion, in a sense. So that was just a little bit about the eclipses and how they will manifest in the next 2 weeks. So again, the eclipse season is twice a year. We're having it this year, March 24 until April 8, and then again September 17, 18, which is going to be the harvest full moon until October 2nd. These are the two times that we have the eclipse seasons, and the eclipses overall are magnifying of energy. They quicken whatever process is happening. So whatever you're going through right now, imagine somebody coming from the back and pushing you forward. So if you're going the right direction, it's a great push towards success. You're going the wrong direction, it's a great push towards failure. So that is the main important thing. The eclipse on April 8 is going to be a total eclipse in Aries, and it's called the American eclipse because it's going to literally pass from the northeast of United States all the way down to Mexico, passing through quite a lot of cities. It's going to be also affecting Western Europe, but mainly North America, Central America, Central America much more. And it is in double Aries. So double Aries can bring quite a lot of wars, especially because the eclipse on April 8th, and we'll talk about it more in the future, is sitting 19 degrees Aries, and it's the moon in 19 degrees Aries. The sun is 18 degrees Aries, 19 degrees Aries. The north node is 15 degrees Aries, and Chiron is 19 degrees. It's very much a Chiron eclipse, and Chiron is all about healing. So there's going to be a lot of wounds that are going to be surfacing in the next 2 weeks. Physical wounds, wounds that deprive you from connecting to your true identity. And that's why, even though we have this week the lunar eclipse, we do have to start talking about the April 8th eclipse. It's a solar one because they're somehow connected and they're linked by a Mercury retrograde, returning to old patterns, returning to old ways of looking at things, looking at relationship, looking at yourself. But this eclipse now in December 24, 25 is more about relationships and our dynamic in relationship. The eclipse on April 8, you're on your own. You have to figure it out. It's more about your sense of identity. It's more about where you're going from here. What is your direction in life? So that's going to be the eclipse and the eclipse season. So now I wanted to see if we have any questions that came out this week. I have the Sun, Moon, Saturn in Cancer. Yeah, it's not necessarily negative effects. You don't have to look at it as negative. Squares are not always negative. They basically force you to get up. You know, so my head was itching. So it's not negative. It's just my head is itching and I had to take my hand and maybe I wanted to be very, very dignified and put my hands like this. And then suddenly I go like this, which maybe is a little monkeyish. It's not necessarily bad, but I'm forced into action that otherwise maybe I wouldn't want to take. That's what a square is. The square is an itch that happens. If it is a terrible square, it might be more than an itch. It might be bleeding. But overall, it's not necessarily bad. What it does talk about, it is a recipe for action. So if you know that you need to do certain things and you kind of procrastinate, maybe that would be a good thing to do right now before the eclipse is actually happening. So instead of being forced into action, force yourself into action and maybe the eclipse will spare you. Procrastinate. I'm not good at saying procrastinate. You see, I just moved away from the word. I forgot it. If I talk about sun sign and rising sign. So when we talked about the effects of the eclipse, yes, it's sun sign and rising sign. So this energy has to do with the 2 weeks that are from the eclipse to the other. Yes, from March 24 to April 8. Any other questions? When is a good time to make? You know, I would do the offer right now before you get into the retrograde. We already are in the shadow. That's why this eclipse is intense, even though it's not happening in the actual retrograde. It is happening in the shadow, which is not always the easiest. It's not retrograde, but you're in the shadow already. So it is not a bad time until April 1st to make that. Eclipse effects last for 6 months. The eclipses usually, traditionally, every minute the eclipse is a month in the calculation. Now, I would say that yes, traditionally the eclipses last for 6 months until the next eclipses. So I like to look at eclipses as storytelling or as synchronicity generating lunation in a sense, because what they do is they push forward, and we are stories, we're made of stories, we create stories. So our story is quickened around the eclipse, and to the point, it's like an inertia. You get like this bump in your behind that pushes you for 6 months, and then in 6 months you're suddenly standing, and then what happens? September 17 comes and bang, another eclipse. So we traditionally talk about how the eclipses last for 6 months and tell the story of the 6 months until the next eclipse kicks in, which is, of course, in 6 months. So yes, you can look very much at what you're planting now, the seeds that you're planting now. This story will be done in September 17, when you will need to start a new story, in a sense. So I hope you guys have an amazing, beautiful week, an amazing eclipse, and that you use it the best way possible. And if you guys are in Los Angeles, the next two classes that I posted in the chat are going to be in person in LA. One of 2024 and the other one is Embodying Astrology. It's a completely new workshop. So hopefully it will go extremely well. So thanks a lot. And again, have an amazing Aries period, and next week I'll tell you, bless your... we'll talk a little bit about Easter next week. Thanks a lot, and good day, good week.